The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Seven today, believe it or not, is the 22nd of August 2017. As I say on every show, stand up, take a deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. These are two things among many that I say every day upon rising and before I go to bed, and obviously it's wandering through my head. These are two verses in themselves. When you visualize what you want, when you implement what you want, there's no way you will not get what you want. And this stuff works, and I'm here to tell you, there's going to be much, much more. I've been doing shows lately on it. I'm doing so much reconstruction right now of my head. I'm going to pass on everything that's working for me to you. And anybody that knows who's involved with anything heavy, you better have something going on upstairs because you're not going to get it otherwise. I don't care how strong you are. So keep those two verses in mind and stay with them. Secondly, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the Winner's Circle. As I said, 12 modules, all recorded, and it goes through so many things we've done here at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard for the last 15 years. A lot of movements that have been lost in the shuffle, like pullovers, high shrugs, dips. I do dips on huge 4x4s. Of course, we do all the good stuff, the rack work, the dead stop work, the stones, obviously the sandbags, which has been very prevalent here, especially since Martin Janzik's put out the challenge of anybody that can clean and press a 200-pound sandbag can go out and lift any stone. So that's all on there. You get a 13th module called the Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. It's all there, and anything you want is there, and it's going to be a product that's going to keep expanding because I've got so many things here that can be filmed now that I could probably add 5 more modules to it. And then we also have our 8 for 8, where, you know, there's men and women all over that are associated with the show, our family, that have volunteered 1 hour of their time when you buy the Winner's Circle. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Company, click Winner's Circle, change your life. As I said, stomp out old age, no matter how old you are. Also, next, contributions. They're big here now. We need contributions big time. This show's very expensive to run. As you know, I've told you, I've gone through all my life savings, just about. That was $80,000. Obviously, not every penny went to the two businesses. You have to live too. But I am fully committed. The show is just getting massively bigger, but we need to bring more money in. So if you go out and hit the contribute button on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, it'll take you to 3 buttons, and they all go to PayPal. It's simple as can be. $25 gets you the first module off the Winner's Circle called The Beginning. $50 gets you the first module off the Winner's Circle and a half an hour of consultation free with myself. When you contribute $100, you get The Beginning, and you get 2 free half-hour sessions with me, and we will go over anything. So it's very simple. You click the button, goes right to PayPal. You do all your business there. You're done. No jumping through hoops, no nothing. So it's all there. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Right now, we have already done 759 podcast shows, approaching our 3rd-year anniversary, September 27th, and I've let off this year, and that is a massive amount of material. We have more content than anybody out there. Also, too, to sign up to our free newsletter, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Right on the homepage, right at the top below Patreon, sign up. It goes right to the MailChimp account, and anything, I've put out 3 already this week. Today were the three B's. And let me tell you something. Those three paragraphs I wrote, if you understand exactly what I was talking about there, that will light you right up. And it was called Bold, Brave, and Brazen, the three B's. So go out and look at that at FiorellaBarbellCo.com and go right to our blog. There's a ton of great material there. And I think that's it. But this isn't it. As I tell everybody, I love introducing new people to the family. And obviously, we're going to have a brand new family member here. We have Kara Shaw right now coming in momentarily. And I want to give you a little information on Kara. And I, you know, before I even knew, well, I think I knew that she dates Andrew Carney, who's on this show too, who's a strong man. They're both over in Scotland. I was watching her lift stones, and you know my, I love anybody that lifts stones. And it's just very interesting to see the strength that she displays, like many of the women on this show. And we're doing this thing now where we are just pushing this stuff out everywhere. It's that important. So I'm going to give you a little information on Kara. Number one, she's a podiatrist. She is self-employed, and as I just said, she is a competitive, strong woman. Kara, I want to welcome you to the family and to the show. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be on.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anything I missed, websites, anything you want to add, please do, and we'll start introducing you to everybody.
No, nothing that I want to add, just...
You're good? That's all right. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. All right. Well, this is easy. We love to introduce new people. We have a very strong woman here, which I'm sure it goes all the way across the board. But when you see her, you know, lifting a Denny or the Shank stones and lifting other stones, which we're going to go over, it's very impressive stuff. And my whole idea here is we want to get this out to everybody in the world. And it's very important because these are people that a lot of young women look up to big time. It's not just guys. It's young women that are getting into this more and more. It's exceptional. So the first question, this is going to be an easy one. What got you into strength? I mean, you know, I had told Kara, I gave her a little heads up on what was going to be the first question. And as everybody knows here, you know, a lot of us love superheroes. The Hulk is my favorite. But what do you feel influenced you to start liking strength and wanting to explore it?
Well, for years, I started weight training 2 years ago. I'd always kind of went to the gym and things, but like cardio bored me. Mm-hmm. I never had a clue how to lift weights. I did not have a clue, and it actually terrified me to go over and
yep.
lift the weights.
Yep.
So 2 years ago, I contacted a strong women gym that was local to me and asked for personal training sessions. Now, my aims were to go and just lift some weights and tone up. I went to the gym. I had my first personal training session, and we done legs. I couldn't walk for about 5 days after I did my first leg session. I had never trained legs before, and I woke up in the morning and I just thought, I'm disabled. I couldn't get out of my bed. But I got a little bit of a buzz out of it because I felt sore. I knew I had a good workout.
Yep.
So I started doing a couple of training sessions a week, and the gym that I was in started, it was Scotland's Strongest Women at the time. She was in there. And they started hosting small, wee strong women competitions, like local.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to give this a wee bash. So I started training with them. I started doing some strong women events. And I just absolutely fell in love with lifting. I got a total buzz out of getting in and beating my personal bests. I then, as I say, started training, doing the strong women stuff. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yep.
As I say before, I could go to classes, I'd be clock watching, I'd go to the gym and do cardio, I'd be constantly looking at the minutes, counting down on the treadmill. I can go into a gym and I can spend 2 hours in a gym weightlifting, and I absolutely love every minute of it. So I'm now no longer training at that gym because they didn't open at the weekends, and being employed with the NHS and self-employed, I work about 60 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to a gym that can accommodate, obviously, around my working hours. So I'm now at another, I'm at a bodybuilding gym called Glencairn Gym. So now I train in there, and I also go up and train in Andy's gym as well.
So
see, I've been doing my weight training. I started doing it. Me and Andy started dating in January, and he's got me into the powerlifting, and it was him that introduced me to the stone lifting. So he's been telling me the history of all the stones and what he's lifted, and I've been watching his wee videos and things of what he done, and being around in his gym, watching people doing the powerlifting and things. And it just totally influenced me. And I went to the Scottish Championships, powerlifting championships this year. I watched all the girls lift and obviously the males lifting as well. And I just decided I want to be a part of this. And I see Andrew as well with the stone lifting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my aim this year was to lift the small Dinny stone.
Yeah.
That was my aim. So we started, like, we were obviously visiting Charlie, and Andrew was training him how to lift the stones, and I was getting a wee shot of his replica Dinny stones. And then we went to one of Andrew's other friends, and I managed to lift heavier than the small Dinny stone. And I just, it just gave me an absolute buzz. So every kind of one I've lifted has just gave me a buzz to lift more.
Yeah.
And go heavier. And I've now convinced myself that maybe next year I can lift both Dinny stones at the same time.
Oh, man, would that be that? Now, that's a feat of strength, you know? It was Terry Todd's wife, Jan's, the only one that's done them, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd just start thinking. I mean, as I say, my aim was to lift the small Dinny stone.
Yeah.
And then I lifted the big Dinny stone.
I know, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Oh, well, I'd lifted them the week before. I'd done, like, the replica Dinny stones the week before.
Yep.
And I only managed 178 kilo. And we added another 5 kilo on, and I could budge it, but I couldn't lift it.
Yep.
And I had my doubts that I was going to be able to do it. But then we went to the Dinny stones, and I managed it, no bother.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we were at Stevie Shank's house at the weekend there.
Yeah.
And we went and lifted his dad's stone, the 200 kilo one. So just, it gives me an absolute buzz. And you lift
absolutely.
And just think, do you know what? I'll lift the two of them.
Well, you probably will, but it's just going to be a matter of building more strength and getting used to two of them. Hey, look, I talked to Charlie a ton of times too. You know, Charlie at times wasn't convinced that those two stones were going to go up. But, you know, yeah, but then you see him a few, it's almost 3 weeks ago, obviously, when everybody was there. And, I mean, he had no trouble at all. And now, you know, he was on a stone tear with the Invern. I know he's got the Highland Games coming up, and then he's going to he'll go over to Stevie's, he said, in October and lift the Shank stone. So, I mean,
Charlie's doing amazing.
Yeah,
turned into a great stone lifter. I have been seeing Charlie's journey, and it's been good following Charlie's journey. Seeing Andy's obviously been training him and helping him lift the dinnies and things. So seeing, I've been following his journey through it. And a couple of months before he lifted the dinnies, we were up at his house, and he was like, he's obviously got his replica dinnies, and he was doing his lifts. And do you know, he was like, I said to him, Charlie, if this was on the day of the dinnies, you would have lifted them. And he's like, oh, do you think so? Are you sure?
Yeah.
And he just wasn't confident enough. And then see, just it was the day we were going up to lift the dinnies, and he was feeling so confident.
Yep.
He was like, I think I'm going to lift them, I'm going to do this. And he had such a buzz. And it was just in a couple of months, seeing how him change, his confidence changing, lifting the stones.
Yep.
And he done absolutely fantastic. And now he's just on a roll. He's doing been great with his stone lifting, and it's just been nice to follow his journey and see him doing it.
Well, you know what, and you mentioned the word confidence, as you know, tell me this, I mean, you know, you've been doing it a few years, obviously, and everybody handles things differently, but you know what, pressure is still pressure. I mean, you'd have to be dead if you didn't feel a little pressure when you approached, you know, an Inver or a Husafel.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Well, tell me, what do you think? Is confidence the main thing you need as a woman or a man to walk up to one of these monsters and lift it? Or what else do you think encompasses all these things to do that?
Confidence is obviously a big part of it, just to go up there and lift it. But I think you just need to believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
I try not to think of the weight. If I think of the weight, I start thinking I can't lift it.
Exactly.
If I don't think of the weight.
Yep.
Then I'll lift it. It's like when we went to Stevie Shanks a couple of months ago, and we were doing, he took us into his wee gym, Planet Granite, and we were doing kind of the dunny lifts kind of thing.
Yep.
And this is when I thought, do you know what, my aim's the small stone. And I'd never attempted at all the dunny stones. I've never attempted any replica. And Stevie and Andy were doing the actual dunny lifts, like they were building up and they were doing their warm-ups, and then they were lifting the weight of the dunnies. So I was like, to Stevie, I want a shot of that. So he brought the weight right down for one of his replica dunnies, and he started putting weights on, and I lifted it. And then I was like, right, put more weight on, but don't tell me the weight. And he put more on, yep. I lifted it. And, yep. And that's what we'd done. And I was like, don't tell me. And we just kept piling the weight on, and I managed to lift it. And that was the weight of the small dunny. And it was then I thought, do you know what? That was very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
I think I could maybe go up to 160 kilo, because that was the 44.7 kilo?
Yep.
And I was like, do you know, I think I maybe had a 160 in me there, but do you know, I didn't want to push it. It was my first time trying anything like that.
Yep.
So then we went to, because a couple of months before that we were at Charlie's, and I tried to lift 125, and I couldn't, I managed to budge it, but I couldn't really lift it very much.
Right.
So again, I didn't have the confidence. I thought, do you know, I don't think I could lift that wee one. That's why I thought, do you know, I'll try and train hard, stick another 20 kilo on that, and I'll be able to lift the small one. And then I went to see Stevie's, lifted the 144.7, and I thought, you know, that felt really comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm going to aim for that big stone when we go over to do the dunnies. I want to try and lift that big one. And then we went up to Andrew's other friends, and I managed to lift 178 kilo, and that was the week before the dunnies. And I thought, you know what,
I'm
attempting that 188,
yeah,
and I'm going to do it. Lift it. But you've always got the fear.
Yeah.
I had the absolute fear, and there was a couple of people in that round there, when we were obviously lifting the dinnies, and it's that absolute fear is, what if I go to lift this and I can't lift it, and they're all standing there watching me.
Yeah.
It's like at the gathering, I don't know how half those boys done it. I mean, a lot of those boys had never lifted the dinnies before.
Right.
And they done it in front of 400 people at the gathering.
That's awesome.
I mean, that takes some balls to do.
Sure
that.
It does. Well, you know who we had on, not to interrupt you, and I thought he was from Scotland. A few weeks back, we had Ryan Stewart out, and I didn't know he was from Utah, and he wanted to come on with me, and I was like, okay, you're 5 hours ahead. He goes, no, I live in Utah in the United States. So he was a hell of a guy, and I saw him at the gathering. I was like, damn, man. And it was just like one after another, and I just think that stuff is absolutely fabulous because...
Oh, it was good to see the amount of people from all over the world that was at
the
gathering.
Yeah.
And it was funny, a lot of them were stopping Andy, because obviously Andy is quite famous for
sure.
stone lifting.
Sure.
And they were like, Andrew Kearney, and they were all like talking to him.
Yep.
Like, I've seen your video of you lifting the Inver Stone and things, and it was quite funny to see them.
Yeah.
All these people from all over the world at this gathering, and they kind of obviously knew everybody, but had never met everyone because they're just seeing all this stuff online.
Well, it's a nice thing because I'll tell you what, you still have a lot of tradition, and I mean that's one thing. And I'm sure we got some great stones in America, but no one seems to do anything like that. And I can tell you, when I went to Iceland the first time, there was very few people that you met. They might not have ever seen it, maybe they did, and it was all different age groups. When you got talking to them and you said you're going to lift the Húsafell stone, I didn't meet one person that didn't know the name of the Húsafell stone. So,
well, I had no clue about any of the stones until I'd met Andy
right,
and
yeah,
it was
yeah.
him. Because he'd literally just done his stone tour before we started dating.
Okay.
So, it was him, we would get talking about it. And I had no clue about all these stones. And then I started looking them up he's got his YouTube video of all his stone lifts.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic video. So, that's where I got interested. And, I mean, I'd meet a lot of people every day through my work. I meet a lot of patients, and you talk to them about your life and what you're doing and things, and a lot of them haven't heard of all these manhood stones, but now they do.
Yeah.
Like every time they come in and they're like, what are you lifting this week?
Yeah.
What weight are you doing? Did you do that stone you were planning to lift? So it's good publicity, and I think the more and more people that get into it and seeing all these young people getting into stone lifting, it's good publicity for all the different stones, all the manhood stones, the dinny stones and things.
Yep.
It gives them good recognition, so...
No,
it's a good thing.
I totally agree. And, you know, that's one thing we've done on Motivation Muscle is we've really pushed the tentacles of stone lifting and sandbags out. And I just felt it's something that is so worthy and traditional. And, you know, granted, like I said to you before we came on, I've never met you or any of the other guys that have been on here, but they're all very accommodating people. They can't do enough for you, and they're all gents and women, man. And it's like that's pretty refreshing to me. And I'm not saying there's a lot of people that aren't that way in the U.S., but from what I can see and talk, it's a different mentality. It's more of my mentality. And I like all that stuff. And I think what you're doing and everybody is doing is going to become more and more beneficial because as you get younger and younger people into this and you keep these traditions going, who knows where this can take off to because we're pushing this these shows out all over the world now. And, you know, we get people sending stuff to us all the time or questions. And, you know, a lot of the guys I've talked to are very happy that we've been doing things like that because it's really brought a lot of awareness. And, like, when you go in somewhere and they know now what you're doing, like you said, it's publicity, it's interest. Yeah. And I think it's a great thing because there's not enough – a lot of these sports that we do, you know, they're kind of like, I don't know, you call them underground, you know, nobody knows about them. Everybody's like, you lift stones, what, you know, why would you do that? You know, things of that nature.
But I know, because when you tell folk you're going stone lift, and they're like, do you just stop the car at a random stone and lift it? And they're like, no, there's all these stones everywhere, and they're like manhood stones, and they've got hundreds of years old, and they've all got their history and, and things. So,
hey, I'll tell you what, I do stop the car and go lift stones.
And don't get me wrong, now I start, like, I'm driving along, I'm like, that's a pretty good stone there.
Well, the last...
And went over to Belfast at the weekend.
Yeah.
And we went to the Giant Causeway, which is just millions of stones, millions. So we just couldn't help ourselves. We were picking them up and pressing them above our head.
I saw the pictures.
Things.
That's awesome. Yeah, because the last property, I was telling people, be careful. We didn't realize we were on somebody's property and it was posted. And basically it said, you'll be shot. You know what I mean? It's like, time to leave, you know, like that. But it's a great thing, I'm telling you. Now that you're into powerlifting, but we'll talk a little bit about that. I mean, I've talked to the guys all over, and they'll say, "I'll say, well, what do you feel is the main movement to help you become a good stone lifter? And whether it's Stevie with the one arm deadlift, you know, whether it's upper back work, whether it's you know, glute ham, whatever, close grip, bent rows, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a movement right now you feel that's really, really created?" Quite a bit of strength to your body that you feel has enabled you. Obviously, we know grip is a huge factor with it, but is there one weightlifting movement you feel that's a favorite that's really dominated your stone lifting?
I find that trying to use my legs to push me up and more my quad work and things like that.
Yep.
I get quite a bad back due to my work and my posture, and if I try and strain and pull up, I can put a lot of strain on my back.
Yep.
So, as I say, I am new to this stone lifting. The ones I've lifted just now, I've had rings on them.
Yeah.
So I've found, like, sitting in and basically pulling up from my legs.
Yep.
And actually, it was, I say, obviously, I've started powerlifting this year, and I was doing conventional stance with my deadlift, and it was killing my back.
Yeah.
I'd done 110 kilo.
Yep.
That was my max rep with it, and my back was just killing me with it. So when I went to Stevie's and tried his dinny replica, I was sitting into it, and he was like, telling me what to do, sit into it, and I put my back straight, and I pulled up, and I thought, you know, I wonder when I'm doing my deadlift, and if I should change to sumo stance.
Sure.
Because it's working more with my legs.
Yep.
So Andy then started teaching me how to do sumo stance. I seem to have became just a total natural to this. It's made my lift so much easier. In a couple of weeks, I added 10 kilo onto my lift.
Awesome.
I find it working with my legs. Once a week I do a heavy leg session, personal training session at my gym that I go to at the Glencairn.
Yep.
And he pushes me to my absolute max. This guy has me leg pressing 400 kilo.
Whoa.
He's honestly, I'm so chuffed. That was my five rep max.
Yeah.
I've done not last week, the week before. He managed to get me on 400 kilo. And I just feel the work in my legs to try and maybe compensate for not using my back and things much if I try and push through my legs.
Yep.
Grip strength, I think, that's an important thing as well. And I've never done the hook grip before.
Okay, all right.
So I was talking to Stevie at the weekend about the hook grip, and he sent me all these pictures of how to do it and what I should be doing. And I think after hearing all these trauma stories of poor folks' thumbs, I think it's a thing to start off with when you're working light to get your hands used to it and the feel for it.
Yeah.
So the hook grip's one thing that I'm going to start trying.
No, I think that's a great thing, because if you try to start in too heavy with that, you'll lose your thumbnail for sure. Because I've done it, and it induces a lot of pain. I'll tell you what, grip, and you know, it's very interesting about grip, because I was telling the guys when we've talked, I've always done grip, but not to the extent I do now, and I've been a big guy lately in the last 3 months to be working from the elbow down to the tips of the fingers like crazy. Obviously, I was telling you about the sand dune. I'm working knees down to the end of my toes, up the front of the shin, you know, because a lot of times the shins are neglected, and that can be a real weak point. So I have taken all these on, and it's definitely made things much better with training. And I think a lot of people don't realize how important those areas are, especially the fingers, because many of the guys, when we went to Iceland to lift the Húsafell, you know, there's no handholds with the Húsafell, pretty much. You know, some guys will turn it, you know, 100 degrees this way, or, you know, they'll lift it sideways or whatever. And I lift it, this time I go, it'll be lifting it straight up where it looks more like a shield, like a shield, because the stuff that I've built here, the steel stones, they are replicas to a point where I took all the measurements off the Húsafell and built steel like that, where I can load steel shot in it, and it has a plate tree on each side. So if you're going real good, who wants to stop in the middle of a workout and load shot into a stone?
Yeah.
So that takes care of it. But here's the thing. You better have daggers to lift that stone. And, I mean, you got to be strong everywhere. But as they say, you know, handholds and all this stuff, you're not going to find much of that in that stone. And that stone is like talc. I mean, it's slippery when it's dry.
Yeah.
You know,
I found that I've been doing some Atlas stone training, and I find that when you're lifting different Atlas stones, like John Pollock, who trains with Andy, he trains at my gym as well at the Glencairn, because we stay 40 minutes from Andrew, so we train at the Glencairn and Andy's gym. So John's got his stones, they're rough, they've got tacky on them, things like that.
Yep.
Whereas Charlie has his stones, and they're very smooth, and tacky's not been used on them.
Yep.
And it's hard to try and get your grip into them, and see, it's with the stones as well, with these natural stones, they're slidey, they're out in the middle of nowhere, they're different, like they're all made of different kind of stone materials, and it's hard to get your grip in a lot of these things.
Yeah, you're not, I'm telling you, a lot of this stuff is not made to lift. It doesn't want to, you know, it does not want to be lifted. And, you know, that's how I think Bill Crawford and I, when we went on a stone tour in 2008, both of us tore our bicep in Iceland. So, you know, that stuff happens. But it's going to be good to get back there. I miss Iceland big time. I think Iceland would be a place that I could live. I liked it that much, and I just like the attitude. Anybody there, well, I'm not looking at the guy end, but the girls there, the majority of them are all in very good shape. I like people like that, and I didn't meet anybody that really had a bad disposition, so to speak, on them. All very friendly. You got to meet a lot of good people. And it was just a good time. It was a great environment, and it was just great to see something so historic like that.
Yeah.
It's still there. I mean, when you can go, and the church is still there, and Snorri Bjornsson, his grave is right next to the church, and you walk up there, and it's like an ancestor of his who owns the property, and he's a stone carver, and you see stuff, it just blows your mind. And
I think it's great when you look at all the history of all these stones and things.
Yeah,
and you think,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, when you look at the manhood stones and
yep.
in Scotland, and you're thinking all these young boys were trying to show their manhood, trying
yeah.
to show their strength, prove
yep.
a point by lifting these
yep.
stones.
Yep.
And the history, I mean, the history, back then there was no gym, there was no steroids,
nope.
there was no
nope.
protein supplements,
nope.
there was no diet plans or personal training sessions. These boys literally were just hard grafters at work
yeah.
and then had to show their manhood and show how strong they were by lifting these stones. And it's great when you sit and think of the history and how people now are going about and doing it.
It's great, and I'll tell you what, we are sorely lacking that in the United States because men are having a real problem being men here, I can tell you that. And I think it's kind of all over the world now. It was interesting last week I read they were talking about if Germany or France were attacked, how many young men would fight for their country? 18%. That's pretty pathetic. And
you look at kids nowadays as well.
Yeah.
I mean, young people, they're more into technology. They're
yes.
sitting,
yep.
eating a lot of crap,
yep.
processed foods. They're
yep.
sitting online playing games. How
yep.
many people actually are out active now? It's
not. When you see yeah. obesity is through the roof and all over the world. I mean, it's really bad here.
Obesity is really bad,
yeah,
and
yep,
it's becoming acceptable
yep.
now. I mean, you see
definitely.
All these restaurants with food challenges and things like that, and
yeah.
people are making it acceptable to eat this rubbish and things.
Yep.
And it's I mean, I see a lot of obesity in my work,
yeah.
and it's
yep.
terrible. People at 40 years old,
yep.
and they can't take off their own shoes.
Nope.
It's terrible.
No, and you know what? Like you said, it's become acceptable. So if there's no shame in anything, why change? There was a very
yeah.
there was a very interesting thing. Dr. Wong and I did a show last Friday, and I called it Mindless. And I had read this, and I had to read it again. And it was basically they're talking about, I guess they call them like pre-millennials now. I don't know. They've got so many names, you can't follow them. And these were young men from like 22 years old to maybe 35. And there was three things they just brought up, and there was a succession of things. But the first three were enough for me. The first one was, and this is all medical doctors. These are talking
mm-hmm.
about what's going on. The first problem was they're so embedded in texting now, they don't even feel the need unless they have to get off a couch. That's bad, number
yeah.
one. Number two, they cannot go – they have a very hard time with interviews because they don't have social skills. So that really
yeah.
gives them problems. But the last two, which they said after – the last one – the next one was real pathetic. They have no confidence to ask a girl out, okay? And they just did this with men. They said they don't know how, they're not sure. I mean, it was just constant feed of, I can't. But then they said, you know what, the best thing is, we really don't have to worry about because they're doing it now. I think some of it's out, but a lot of it's in beta testing. Now you'll be able to go out with a virtual girl. And I said to Dr. Wong,
yeah.
when I said that, you can kiss humanity goodbye if that's what's going to happen, man.
Technology's a good
yeah.
thing,
yeah.
but it's actually a bad thing in a way because it does encourage that. Technology rules
yep.
everything nowadays. See, my wee nephew, he's 11 years old.
Yep.
He would rather go home from school and sit on his computer and play with his friends online. So
yep.
they all sit in their own houses
yep.
and they meet up online. So you say that, people now text. There's people sitting in their couch texting their mum or their
yeah.
girlfriend.
I know.
Can you bring me through this?
I know.
See, even the online dating, people can't go up to a girl in a pub anymore or bring her out and ask a girl out. They're on Tinder swiping, do you know what I mean? Judging folks
yeah.
with their pictures.
Yeah, well that...
It's crazy. It really is.
It really is. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something funny. I'll give you another question is this. Well, I don't think it's funny because if I was out with a girl and she did this to me, that would have been it. I was at a restaurant with my ex-girlfriend, and we were sitting there. There was a couple across from us, and I'm watching. And, I don't know if they were texting one another or other people. They're not touching their food, all right? And I'm saying to myself, what the hell kind of date or whatever you two are or why even bother going out if you're going to do that? I'll tell you right now, if someone did that with me, you better have your phone off if we're out somewhere. Check it when we're outside or whatever, because I'll tell you right now, I would have got up and walked out the back door. I'm not kidding you. I'm like, who, I mean, you know, when you're out with somebody, the attention is on one another. It's not a damn phone.
And I mean, I must admit, I'm on my phone all the time, and so is Andy.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes when we go out, we sit on our phones, and then like the waitress will come over and ask you if you wanted to order, and you're like, God, I've not even looked at the menu yet. I've been too busy checking in or getting a picture of the menu to let folk know I'm out for dinner or
putting
something on my Snapchat story. And then we end up making a point of, right, let's put the phones away.
Yeah.
Put them away, and then we'll sit and talk.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy stuff. Well, I mean, we still got, what, 4 months left the year? You got anything big coming up after this, stone-wise, you're going after?
I've got a couple of powerlifting competition in October.
Yeah.
Stone lifting, I've not got anything kind of planned just now for that. I think Andy wants to go back. He wants to press the Breathing Stone.
Yeah.
We're just hectic just now, though, with Andy. This is his busy time with his MCing at the Highland Games and Strongman comps.
Yep.
Plus, he's got loads of powerlifting comps coming up. We're in Czech Republic. We're going to Russia in November.
Wow.
We're down in Manchester, Bristol. We've got so much on every week. We're actually trying to count the weeks we've actually not got nothing on to get a rest. We're knackered.
Holy cow.
We've been travelled about a lot. I mean, I absolutely love it. You're meeting new people within
the
industry. It's great.
Sure.
But I know Andy's wanting to go and do, and he was saying, is it the Glen Roy?
Yeah, the Glen, that's correct.
Talk about maybe doing them. But the one he wants to do is the Breathing, because he's lifted that, but he's not pressed it.
He's never
it,
pressed
really
it, yeah.
To press it, so.
Jeez.
And I think he wants to do Fianna again as well. So,
yep.
Definitely a thing. I mean, this is Andy's busy time.
Yeah.
When things start calming down. I mean, if we're sitting and we've got nothing on, we'd be like, what do you want to do this weekend? And say it was his birthday in July, and we're like, what do you want to do? And he's like, I want to go and lift a stone. So we went to a Vorlich stone.
Yep.
And it was so funny because we went into the house, that is our Vorlich house that sits at the stone, and Andy chapped the door and things. And then eventually the wee old lady and old man that stay there came out, and like, she drove up in her car next to Andy, and Andy's got the sword in the ground. And
I love that, yeah, yep.
Oh, it's great when he does it. It looks so good.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he was like, to the lady, I'm going to lift this stone today. And you seen her, as if to say,
yeah.
Aye, whatever. How many folk come here every week to lift this stone and they don't do it?
Yeah.
So you seen her, as if to say, that's fine, I'm away to the bingo, I'll maybe see you when I come back. Just she drove off.
Yep.
And then the wee old man came, and he's like, I'm going to lift your stone. And the wee old man's like, all right, no problem. And he walked away back to his farm or whatever he was doing.
Sure.
And Andy lifted it. He stood up with it and he got it on his shoulder, and he'd done it numerous times. And I felt saying, you know, you didn't think he could do that, because nobody had ever, I think so many folk, was it five folk had lapped it?
Yeah.
But nobody had actually ever stood up with it. And I was like, God, he got it up to his shoulder.
Yep.
But it was good, because there was a lot of, Ben Vorlich, there's a hill next to it, and there was loads of hill walkers coming down, and they were all looking at Andy and like asking what he was doing and asking for pictures with him. And
that's
things,
cool,
so.
Man. That's really cool. That's good. Well, now, obviously, being a podiatrist, I mean, are they pretty flexible if you want to go away and do things like that, or how does that work?
With my job?
Yeah.
Well, I work my NHS job. I work 3 days a week.
Oh, okay.
The rest
okay.
I do self-employed. So all in, I work about 60 hours a week. But
okay.
I just do my work to suit myself. My private work is my own work.
Nice.
So I just do it to suit myself. I tend to work hard Monday to Friday. I usually work 12 hours every day.
Wow.
And I work hard. And then, say, I'm going to the gym 5 days a week as well. So it's like trying to fit it all in.
Yeah.
But I mostly try and take my weekends off so that me and Andy can spend some quality time. And as I say, we're crazy. Our schedule is absolutely crazy doing things. So, I try and work as much as I can during the week and take my weekends off.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I maybe take one day a week off, and I can't tell you how long, you know, it's like, because all the time my mind is this stuff all the time. It's like, you know, with a business, a lot of people understand. I mean, it's a constant thing where you want to grow it. You've got a lot of people that are in touch with you that you always can't get back to. Now with the show, as like with the show, you know, I had to contact you. Obviously, we went back and forth. Obviously, I had to send you a note just to verify you were coming on tonight.
Yeah.
You see, people don't understand a lot of the other things that are going on. There's a lot of involvement with things that you have to take care of. Now, your show that with me tonight will be up tomorrow morning, all right? But now, that show, you know, barring any difficulties between now and the end, will take an hour and a half to do. See, everybody thinks you record a show, it's done. Well, I have to write show notes. You know, there's uploading, downloading everywhere, and then, obviously, you have to put it all out to social media. So there's a big deal here going on with that. And, you know, building a business, you know, as I say, I'm building an empire. I'm not building it a bit. You know, that seriously, I just feel that, you know, I don't know. I know this is business, and to me, it's all the same. I've had a lot of people make suggestions, all right, because, you know, everything's very tight right now and blah, 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 blah. And they'll say, well, why don't you sell T-shirts? And I've pissed more than one person off. I said, that's great, but I don't think about small ball here. You know, we think large with everything.
Why should you? Why should
exactly.
You should always dream big. I say, I'm telling you, I'm dreaming big. I'm determined I'm lifting those both Denny stones at
exactly.
the same time.
You will.
See, if I don't believe I can do them,
right.
I'll never do them.
Right.
I've
right.
got to tell myself I'll do that.
Right.
I'll do it.
Because you know what I always say, Kara? It's funny. You know, think about when you're training, regardless, whether Andy's coaching you or other people are coaching you, or you're just working yourself, right? When you go and lift something magnificent like anything, any stone out there, it's you. Granted,
yeah.
you hear everybody out there that could be yelling your name, cheering for you, but really, if you're tuned into what you're doing, you're not really hearing much of it, because when we were walking around with stones, we'd have like a ton of people around. And, you know, everybody wants to get you rolling and all that. And all I told people was this. When that happened, the voices sounded not only muffled, but I couldn't really understand them, and everybody was a blur when I went by. So that shows you that you better have some mental fortitude built before you go into this stuff.
Oh,
period.
Definitely. I mean, see, when I'm lifting, as I say,
yeah.
I try not to think about the weight.
Yeah.
Don't think about the weight, because then it makes it seem heavy.
Yes.
That's,
yep. Yep.
So I go in, and see, you see from my videos, I'll sit in.
Yeah.
I'll grip. I'll breathe, I'll breathe, I'll breathe, I'll stop thinking. There's been times, even when I go, there's a video on where I went to do my deadlift, I went to pull and I thought, no, it's no coming, you're thinking too much. Breathe,
right,
breathe, breathe,
right.
Clear your head, and see that minute my head clears, I take a deep breath in and I just grab my stone, my deadlift, and I just pull it up.
Yep.
And it works every time. Just don't think of it, zone out and just get it lifted, just lift it. That's your main aim. Don't think of the weight. Don't think of everyone round about you. Just
right.
lift it.
Well, here's what I do a lot of times, too. If it's lifting or anything, all right, or if I'm doing any type of visualization with anything, and this could be like when I get up, a lot of times people don't realize, or they do, you could be visualizing something, and I don't care who you are, you could get a negative thought coming in. Soon as that happens, I take a deep breath and let it out, and it goes right away. So your breath is something you've got to be very cognizant of when you breathe, and you can breathe.
Definitely.
That. Yeah, and people don't understand the correlation between even breathing and how you lift something off the ground or overhead or whatever. Your breath is basically going to make or break you, obviously, besides what you have going on in your head. And that's where I think a lot of guys and girls fall apart, because I've seen friends of mine that, it, not only just them, but other people, myself included, you have days like that. You know,
yeah.
you're doing great in the gym. You're ready to go, right? And you go to something, you fall flat on your face, man. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's part of life. But a lot of that is due to, like, I've met a lot of very good athletes that got by because of their talent. But you know how you tell a good athlete is when they get an injury or things go bad on them? How do you rebound mentally? And a lot of these guys and girls don't come back well. I've had friends of mine that got some serious injury. I mean, we know with Andy, with both kneecaps, I mean, to come back from that is absolute. But that's a minute person out there. The majority of people with things like that would never come back and train. I had a friend that is still do. was an exceptional Olympic lifter. He hurt his back. He'd get only so far, and then he'd get hurt again. Now, I don't know. At that point, I wasn't going to even question any of it, but I always felt to this day it was a psychological thing where he could never, you know, like some people can't get over the hump ever. And he went. He
a lot
went,
of it is psychological.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
To me, I'm one of these people. If something gets me down, I'll do it again to bounce back,
yep.
get my confidence back.
Yep.
You do it sensibly. You're not going to keep doing it and keep injuring yourself. But
no.
You'll do it, and you bounce back, and you get over that hurdle.
Yep.
But a lot of it is psychological. Even just say with weightlifting.
Yeah.
We were with them. There was a strong man, Johnny Hale, with us, and his girlfriend. She's done a wee bit of strong women training.
Yeah.
And they were with us at the weekend, and me and her were warming up with Stevie Shank's dad's stones and things.
Yep.
We had weights there. We warmed up, and she was our lifts were so smooth, and I thought, Claire, you're going to get that 200 kilo today.
Yeah.
And both
yep.
me and you were going to do it.
Yep.
She lifted the small one, got
yep.
up so easy. She couldn't budge the big one. And I said to that, it's a mental block with you because you're lifting them all so easy. You're thinking too much of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd started to tell her how I lift and things and what I do and like my breathing and my thought process when I'm doing it. And I'm like, just don't think of the weight. But she knew herself. She's like, I can't do it.
No.
And then she went back to warm up to try again. Then she was over it, pre-exhausted. She couldn't lift any.
But,
she just
yeah,
thought, no,
yeah,
I'll yep. come back and try it again.
Yeah.
But she should have got that up.
Yep. Well, you know, that's the thing. And you know what I think's amazing, staying on Stevie? I mean, you think he really didn't start anything till he was 50 years old.
I know.
I mean,
he's a total machine.
He is a machine.
Oh, yes.
He's a funny guy, too, and he, like... I can't wait to meet up with him because
he's a total legend.
Yeah, I love Stevie. Yeah.
He's just a total legend.
Well, I think he's the kind of guy I think I could get in a lot of trouble with, put it that way.
Oh, definitely. You know what? His attitude is great. I mean, I sit and tell Stevie, I'm like, Stevie, I'm going to lift those two Denny stones. He's like, Cara, you are going to lift them.
Yeah.
You're going to lift them. Like, I know, Stevie.
Yeah.
I'm coming to your gathering next year and I'm going to lift them. And he's like, yes, let's do this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His attitude, honestly, is just... fantastic. He's got such a great attitude. He's just a brilliant guy, absolutely brilliant guy.
Well, that you know, it's that energy. You know, you meet people in your life and there's people you want to be around and others you're like, you know, he's that type. And you know, like when I talk to any of the guys and the girls on here, there's a certain energy, like with yourself tonight, you bring an energy and it's like you're so passionate about what you do. There's no way that someone could not listen to this show and say, hey, maybe I went after it once, it didn't work out, or maybe I'm going to go and do this. And that is the purpose of everything, to influence others in a very good, positive way.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, I hate being defeated. I've got this attitude. If I've got something in my head
yeah.
and I want to lift something, I will do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, Andy, see, he's teaching me he's training me for my powerlifting.
Yeah.
And we were doing my deadlift, and I wanted to try my PB with my sumo deadlift because I hadn't tried it yet.
Yeah, yep.
So I said to Andy, I'm going to lift 120 kilo today. And he's like, right, okay, right, we'll do 110, we'll try 115, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
So put 120 on, and I tried to lift it.
Yeah.
Lost my grip and I dropped it.
Yep.
Then I went to lift it, couldn't budge it.
Yep.
Then I went to lift it and fell on my bum. And
I've done that.
Me and Andy and he's just, yep. Oh, I fell on my bum. And
yep, yep.
I'll try not to swear, but I was cursing and swearing.
Yep.
And I'm like,
yep.
I'm not leaving this. This Andy's just walking about going,
Yeah.
And he's like, Cara, some folk like normally give up after two or three attempts of their PB. I must have been there. I was there for 40 minutes.
Yep.
I tried it about 19 times.
Yep.
He stripped it back to 115 and I lifted it. And he's like, right, you lifted it, but you would have probably got red lighted in a comp for that. And I
yep.
says, okay,
yep.
that doesn't class as a PB.
Yep.
Doesn't class as a PB to have white lights and it's classed as a good lift.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm lifting it again. He's like, right. We'll put 120 on. If you're going to lift it again and whatever, we'll just do the 120. And
yeah.
I got it up.
Nice.
Sandy's like, ah.
Nice.
Like, pure
yep.
raging, screaming. On
yep.
I could have killed
yep.
somebody that day. I had the absolute rage. And I got it up and
yep.
I put it down. And, you know, just done a wee smile. And I'm like, oh, I got
yep.
my 120 kilo.
Yeah.
And I was so chuffed. And Andy's like, ah, I mean, you've been here for about 40 minutes. I've had total hissy fits, mental breakdowns. But I was like, I ain't leaving this gym. till I get that 120 kilo up. I don't care how many tries I get. It's going up.
Yeah.
So and eventually I got it. Do you know what I mean?
It's awesome. And you know what? That's the lift that day that could influence the next year of your training or the rest of your life, because...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think Andrew wants to strangle me sometimes.
Of course.
Oh, we're going about this deadlift talk, and he's like, right, your openers will be 110, and I'm like, no, Andy, I'm opening at 120. And he's like, Cara, do a comfortable lift for your first open, and then you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, but I don't want to do 110, I want to do 120. And he's like, I think he really wants to grab me and smack my head off the wall sometimes.
Probably.
He's like, just listen to me.
Yep.
Who's the professional here? Who's got all the experience in this sport? So we've compromised, and I'm going to open at 115.
Okay.
So
that's good.
I think I'm. He might have a mental breakdown come October. through my first proper training program.
Yeah, the stones and the weights can't break him, but his girlfriend does. You know what I mean? That's it. It's like boom. Yeah. Hey, look. You know something? You know, people don't understand this about even life. When you really want something, you know, as I always say, you've got to go after it with junkyard pit bull tenacity, and it's like you gotta grab on and not let go, and that's the way it is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think dream big and do your stepping stones up until you've got your big dream.
That's sad. But you know something? It's too simple for people to grasp. It really is, because if you look at the fitness world, and I hate that word, I like using physical culture, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just look at the crap that's out there all over. And people will spend tons of money on it, and they get nothing for their money. And we were talking about that with a lot of the trainers. I mean, you know, I've had people tell me they have come here. You know, they put me on machines. Okay, I wouldn't do that, obviously. I like setting people right up on body weight, because that, to me, builds true strength. And you use your body. Yeah. You need to – but to make a long story short, they go to these places, you know, they train them for a week or two, and then after that, you're lucky if you see them, and then a lot of people get hurt or they get self-defeated, and this is why we're losing people and not gaining people, because...
Well, you look at it, I mean, I see folk down my way, and it's like, oh, I've lost half a stone and I went in a six-week course, I'm now offering PT sessions, and it's like, you know nothing about that, and... they're putting out things like, fitness is my passion, I love this. And it's like, no, it's not. You've lost a bit of weight and now you're being a PT.
Yep.
Like, you're not experienced within anything. And you're trying to offer this service to people. And they don't have a
clue
to
talk about
it.
That's how folk end up.
I mean, I see personal trainers that have got clients, and I've had clients for 2 years, and they don't look any different
to
what they did from day one at training.
Yep.
I get personal training for my legs down at the Glen Cairn gym.
Yep.
Andy has been teaching me my powerlifting, and see how much I have came on in the last 4 months just listening to people that are giving me proper advice and training me.
Yeah, but it comes down
properly,
that makes all the difference. But the great thing is, you're a student too, and when you want to be a student, you know, the teacher is going to come into your life, and that's what it's about. And there's just, you know, there's more to all the stuff we like to do than just loading a bar or grabbing a sandbag. Everybody thinks that you can walk up to anything or whatever and do it, and it's so untrue. And this is what happens. If you don't have people that don't understand how to start someone out, as I always say, if you don't build the foundation, you don't have the house. So if you're not going to squat, you're not going to pull, and you're not going to press, you're going to have a hell of a lot of problems down the road. And this is...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think you definitely need somebody good that knows your technique.
Yep.
Andy is a fantastic PT.
Yep.
He's helped me along a great way. And, I mean, my squatting isn't great. I'm very tight in things. My depth, I struggle to get to.
Yep.
So at present moment, I mean, I'm only squatting with 70 kilos. As I say, as much as I can leg press.
Like
I can do 400 kilo, I'm squatting with 60, 70 kilo. Because I'm trying to get my technique, and he won't let me go any higher until I've got my technique, until I'm doing it properly.
Yep.
Again, to stop myself getting injured, but to make sure that I'm getting my technique at a light weight, so that when I am going up, my technique's fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, and I mean, Andy, I never really trained with a bar. I never done bench press, deadlift, or squat.
Right.
My deadlift I had done with like a frame.
Yeah.
So I had never really done it much with a bar.
Yep.
And I tried to do it before, and I mean, it was ugly. It was absolutely ugly. I managed to lift, I think it was 110 kilo. It took me about 4 attempts.
Yep.
It was absolutely hideous. Worst deadlift you've ever seen in your life. Then I was like to Andy, right, please teach me how to do this.
Yeah.
He sat 10 minutes. I sat with Andy and I pulled 2 110 kilo reps.
Yeah.
And I got it. No bother. It looked smooth. It looked great. And it was all to do with my technique.
Yeah.
That's it. See, you need someone to teach you technique before you start lifting heavy.
Absolutely. But
you see it when you go into your gym. You see, I mean, I see it in my gym.
Oh,
you
bad.
See, stupid. It's always a young boy.
Yep.
And they've always got fancy hair, string vests, and look more in the mirror than what they do lift weights.
Yep.
But
anyway,
so they always try and lift heavy. And you just want to go up and say to them, listen, you're struggling. Your technique's crap.
Yep.
You're not actually benefiting from that. Drop your weight and get your technique right and then work up.
I agree. But you know what? That's all part of the Instagram, Facebook thing now because you see it here. And it's been this way forever, it seems like, you know, pecs and biceps. And the next thing you know, the shirt's off and they're doing that. I mean, some of the gyms I used to go to at one time, if you ever did something like that, you would have got your head broken. You know, literally. that shit wasn't going down. You know what I mean? It wasn't that type of gym. But you know, things are different, and there, you know, we talked about information and internet and all that. For all the good it does, YouTube, when used right, can be a benefactor to you, but there's so much crap out there, and how can't you blame a young man or a young woman that's out there watching that shit, and then they walk into somewhere, and you're like, holy God, what are you doing? You're going to kill yourself. That's a danger of all this stuff. And you and I both know many people have been killed with weight. So, you know, you got to have somebody around you that knows what they're doing. You bring an attitude like yours in there. That makes the life of a trainer, oh my God, it's
definitely,
you know,
I mean, I will listen to MD. I will take any criticism as long as you tell me, listen, what you're doing is actually not right. If you do it this way, you'll benefit more from it. And I will take any criticism because I would rather lift weights properly than do something that's going to injure me or I'm actually not benefiting from. So, but there's a lot of folk out there that just, that, as you say, they've watched YouTube, they're doing this, they're doing that.
Yep.
And actually, when you sit and people watch in a gym, you look at some of them and think, it's like Pure Gyms. We've got a big chain called Pure Gym down the way, and there's a lot of folk use that.
Yep.
And it's, honestly, you could sit in there and just, it's so amusing. You look at people and you're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you actually doing? Like, where did you watch that? Like,
it's
not even a movement. That's
no.
What the hell you're doing?
And it's probably a lot like the Planet Fitness we have here. Oh my God! The first thing they tell you is, you know, they have very little in there anyways, other than machines. But they say, you know, our big thing is we don't judge anybody, which, well, if you don't judge yourself every day, you're never going to know where you stand, number one. And they love to have pizza and donut day there. So I'm like, that says it all right there, you know. So, you know, it's like, look, if that's what you want to do, be my guest and do it. But if you end up having a lot of problems down the road, chances are it's due to what you have been doing or not have been doing. And I don't, you know, we've been training here outside for so long now, you know, obviously change of seasons. I mean, right now it is absolutely brutal out here with the heat. It's like 91, but the humidity, the humidity is vicious. We got a wind, but the wind, it feels like just someone blowing heat on you the whole time, all right? Now, I've got to train tomorrow afternoon, and they're talking it's going to be up near 100. Now, when I go in my garage to do what I got to do, and my power rack is in the very back of the garage, we're probably clocking 115 easy there. So it's going to it'll be vicious. So, but the one thing I want to say, being out of a controlled environment has been much better for me too. Obviously, you got to be cautious at times. I mean, when you're going out playing out in that heat, you can have a heat stroke if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So you go in, maybe do one movement, heavy as you can move it, some deck work, maybe a little bit of grip, I'm out. All right, that will be like a 45-minute workout. they're talking it's going to cool down the end of the week, then I can start carrying some big stones this weekend. But you got to be smart about your training, because there's no point in going outside and killing yourself either. And I mean, I'm training out in frostbite weather, all that stuff. But what I think it's done for me, it's just created a whole different style of lifter here, because nothing is ever the same here. And I really like it like that. I like things.
Well, that's it. You've got to just adapt to your
surroundings. Exactly.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, obviously, I was living in Scotland. We actually don't get that kind of heat, so I'm quite jealous. we just train out in the rain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, you never know. You guys might come to New York sometime, so if I'm still here, you can come. Maybe who knows what the weather.
We are actually going to New York. Me and Andrew are going to New York for Christmas.
Are you really?
We fly out on Christmas Eve, and we're over there till the 28th. We fly home.
Well, I know that would be cutting it too close, but I live in Albany, New York, so that's upstate New York. Most people equate New York with New York City, so we're
I don't actually have a clue.
Right.
My geography skills are absolutely terrible, so
God.
Know is I'm going and staying in Times Square.
That's New York City, so you're going right into the heart of New York.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I'll give you a last question, because we're right at time. And I know this is something, but where do you see yourself, let's just say, in the next 6 to 12 months? Obviously, I know you want to do both Dinnies, but if you had a 1-2 goal for the next year, say, where do you want to be, Cara?
Well, I've actually been setting myself some goals. So, as I say, I'm entering my first powerlifting competition. It's a deadlift competition in October.
Yep.
So my plan is I want to lift 135.
Oh, wow.
That's what I want to lift. So I want to go from 120 to 135, so Andy's got me in a training program to hopefully help me lift that.
Yep.
When next year in April, I think it's about April, there's the Scottish Powerlifting Championship.
Okay, yep.
So I'm not out to beat MD, I'm out to beat myself.
Yep.
So see, even if I could get 140 at that, my aim is, that'll be the bench press, deadlift and squat. I would like to get my numbers up to where I get an invite to the British.
Nice.
So my plan is to get my 135 deadlift in October.
Yep.
Next year when I go to the Scottish Powerlifting Championships, I'll get my score. So I think it's 331 kilo.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to lift all in. So that is my aim, to get my lifts, to get my invite to the British, and then I can start thinking about competing against other folk. So
that's
just
awesome.
Kind of setting personal best for myself, get my invite to the British, and hopefully, I say, Andy's now got replica Dinny rings.
Nice. All right.
So this is me. I can start doing wee bits of stone training. So it's hard trying to do it all, though, because I'm doing powerlifting training. I do 2 powerlifting days, 2 assistance days, and then I do a day where I'm kind of cardio, stone training, or flipping tires, or doing stuff. But it's hard sometimes, because you kill yourself. Half the time I feel as if I'm going to die come Sunday. I've worked an amount of change. So it's hard trying to do it. So every so often I'll keep doing my dinny lifts and see how I go with that. But my aim is definitely to be the second woman to lift the dinnies.
I hope I'm over there next year, because even if I can get over this year, but before the end of the year, I don't know if I'll get to Scotland, but, you know, I'm hoping maybe Martin can get free and we'll meet in Iceland if I can do it before.
You should get to Scotland. You should come to Outcast Barbell Sanctuary, Andy's gymming.
Without a doubt. I mean, that would probably be 18. We'll just see what happens, but, you know, I would like to stay in Scotland maybe for a month, because Charlie and Martin have extended to come over. And then, you know, maybe I can get over to see Stevie for a week. It'll all depend,
It'd be good, because Scotland's a beautiful place. As I say, there's a lot of the stones over here and things, but Scotland itself is just a beautiful place. You see the scenery you get with all these stones and the journeys to it. Oh, and even going over to see Stevie, we were over at the Giant's Causeway and things. We made a kind of good weekend out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So many beautiful places to see. You should definitely come over.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, how far, when you jump on the plane, how far are you, like, from Ireland then, when you're on?
It's only about a half an hour journey.
Wow, that's nice.
On the plane.
Yep, Yep.
Yeah, you're about half an hour on a plane.
Wow.
We went in the boat at the weekend. It was 2 hours.
Did you?
Yeah, two hours on the boat, or you're half an hour on the plane. But we took the boat because we could take the car and things and go driving about. So
nice. That's slick.
And I must say, Stevie plays in a tribute, a Queen tribute.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yep.
See his show. We seen it at the weekend. That itself is just enough just to come over and see. Honestly,
absolutely.
That would definitely make your trip.
No, that would be a highlight
of it.
Yeah, and I hope I can get over and when maybe you're going after the Denny's. We'll see what happens because we've been even talking about there's a lot of guys that listen to the show. They're like, when you go, would you let us know? I said, well, I don't know if we'd run a trip, but if we're going to be over there between X number of days,
yeah,
you know, come on over.
You should definitely try and get Steve for the Denny Gathering next
year
because Steve had done an amazing job, and I think next year he's planning and it being bigger.
Okay.
They're planning Donald Denny Day and things. It was honestly such a great day. It really was.
So would you think it'd be in July, late July again, or would they change it, you think?
Yeah, I think it's okay. they're going to have it on a Sunday, but I can't remember what day. They were doing like a Donald Denny Day.
Okay.
They were saying about it, so I think it will be probably roughly around the same time every year.
Awesome. Awesome. That would be great.
It'll be on the Sunday.
That'd be cool.
He's done a fantastic... He should be so proud of himself.
Yeah.
His wee dad sitting there seeing us.
Yeah.
His wee dad is just a wee gem.
Yep.
I love his dad. He's so funny and nice. And it was good just to see him witness everything. It was...
Yeah, he's got to be very... Yeah, very proud, I'm sure. Very
proud. Definitely.
Well, he should be. I mean, it's nice to see Stevie and everybody else, yourself, Andrew, you know, Charlie, everybody so involved with this that will not let this culture die at all. Because this
I mean, Stevie's now sitting, we're talking about, like, was it Jim Spleen? He was saying to me about...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About getting more women involved in the Denny Stone, because I think we should get recognition for lifting them individually.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
I mean, why should the guys get a certificate for lifting both? I lifted both of them, maybe not at the same time, but I want a certificate.
Yeah, hey, why not?
So they're talking about, but which is good, because, I mean, as much as even I went over and lifted Stevie's dad's stone, I'm the first woman to do it, but I'm not the only woman who can do it.
It's
just about getting it recognised, publicising it, getting folk knowing about the stone lifting and getting them all involved.
Well, Susan Keen, man, and her daughter, God Almighty.
Oh, they are strong women.
I love them, man.
Claire Lee's been, she's been the closest one to lifting both the Denny's so far, hasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what?
She's a strong, strong girl.
Yeah, and it's funny because everybody thinks that you got to be a 300-pounder to lift anything. I mean, you're small.
We went to the gathering. I thought about, like, a dolly bird. I lifted the Denny stones with false eyelashes on, fake tan, and a tan miniskirt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love just glamming it up.
Yep.
And when we went to the gathering, folk are like, oh, do you lift weights? And it's like, yeah, I was here last weekend, and I lifted the both of them individually, and they're like, oh, really? And they just look at you as if to say, you're talking rubbish. So then I start getting my phone out and showing them, and they all act shocked. And it's like, you lifted them, because, I mean, I'm not totally skinny, but
but you're not a big, right, you're not a big woman. I mean, I wouldn't say that one, but no.
Totally underestimate
your strength. Yeah, absolutely.
So, as I say, I love glamming it up. I think it's great. Just, as I say, stick on false eyelashes, tan.
Yep.
Half the time I'm lifting stuff with my sunglasses in my head.
I saw that. I think it's great. Hey, you know what? It's kind of like you got your superhero outfit on, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and away you go.
So if you tell Andy that, he'll say I stole his style because I'm stoting about with my high tops on and my wee mini skirt and things. So I'm kind of stealing his style with his kilt and his high tops.
Yep. But hey,
I must admit, I think I look better than him in it anyway. So.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Totally. You know, but you know something? That's the beauty of it, and you build your identity. And one thing I can tell you, just from talking to you first time, you won't lose. You got the heart. And that is where you're going to shine. I mean, you can tell, I mean, you have a belief, and when you believe, nothing's going to get you. It might knock you down, but you're going to get up.
Definitely.
Kara, give out anything you want. Do you got a website, anything you want to promote before I go on?
It's probably just Outcast Barbell Sanctuary, Andy's
gym.
There's a lot. It's a good powerlifting gym. It's one of the best powerlifting gyms in Britain.
Absolutely.
Andy's one of the best powerlifters. He's a great personal trainer.
Yep.
A lot of strong women and strong men that support each other in that gym. So
I think it's very important. Just hang on. I'm going to give out all my information, and we'll be off shortly. This is Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Don't forget the winner's circle. Change your life. Change your mind. Win. Win, win, win. Also, too, contributions, as I said, 25, 50, and 100. Anything you can lend to the show, make an investment for the next 30 years. And don't forget about the Sand Dune. That's our good, good friend Matt Dahl, the creator and CEO of Sand Dune. If you buy one, if you contact Matt at 714-995-4500, tell him Motivation sent you. You get 10% off the Sand Dune and free shipping in the United States, and that's some big money you save there. So don't forget about that. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Right now there's 761 shows. As I did one today, and we're doing the one with Kara right now, which will be up tomorrow. So, I mean, there is just tons of stuff, and I hope we do a ton of shows with her for the next 30 years. That's what we want to do here. We want to keep building the family and have people here that want to be here, that we're loyal to one another, and we want to offer help to anybody that is serious about doing it. So think about that. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. 5-star review, that's what we've got, and we appreciate that. Also, AHA, which is AHA, that's the directory where Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7 is. You can get it in your car because all the new cars have the capability to get podcasting in them. If there's a show you'd like Kara and I to do, if you have questions, FiorellaBarbell@nicap.r.com. Obviously, I know that you can get a hold of Kara on Facebook, and we'll ask her when we get ready to exit out. She can give any way to get a hold of her if she'd like. If you don't get a hold of her, you can get that to me, and I will forward it to her. Also, too, I'll leave you with just a bunch of great stuff here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. Inspiration will change somebody's life, and 5 words can do that. I know that for a fact. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. That might be all they get. If you're going to lift it, twist it, bend it, break it, pull it, press it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoosa Steel stone crusher says here in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear-cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. I'm telling you right now, it is just flying out of there. This place is a powerhouse, man. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college business professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor, we're coming up on his 3-year anniversary where we lost him to cancer. He would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your best or worst day and not smile. I'm smiling right now. John was an individual I wish everybody who's associated with the family here could have met. Just outstanding. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to kick your door in. We'll blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. I promise you, 30 years of the best broadcasting and friendship you've ever had. Also, Les Brown, you all have greatness. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would say that in today's world. Kara, it's been an honor to have you on. It was a blast talking to you, and I admire your tenacity. It's there, and I wish you success for a long, long time.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been really good to be on your show.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Before we sign off, I always say that, men, you know, get off the couch, get rid of the 9-month belly, the spare tire. You got your sons and daughters watching you, your nieces and nephews, your wife, and support your wives and wives support your men, and don't let people put wedges between the two of you. We need you. We want you to be part of the family and the revolution, and we got some big work to do, but we can do it with everybody's help. So, for Kara Shaw, this is Eric Fiorello. Remember this, too. You are a winner, and you are a champion. And you say that tonight before you go to bed, and every night you will get to where you want to go. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you soon, and have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.